enshrined in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of Spouting Off here at our home, 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and holiday, and we're headed up to yet another holiday, because this is what they say. This is what they mean when they say the holidays. Just when you're done with one, you get another one right around the corner. But we will be here live both days this week. Plus, I have a wonderful show on Friday. Just a programming note for you. As of January 2022, we have moved our Friday show to the same exact time as we do Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn because I don't know whether we'll be able to carry it here on WSMN, but either way, and I don't mean to take time away from WSMN, but if you'd like to listen to a Friday edition, we're working on it. It'll be at the same time Eastern that it always is, which is 2 p.m. Eastern, right? That's it, right? No, it's 1 p.m. Eastern. What's the matter with me? I'll never get the time zone straight. I don't. Nevertheless, I hope you had a happy and merry Christmas. Yes, I have no problem whatsoever wishing people a merry Christmas. And so much is on my mind today. There is a talk show host out of Denver, Colorado, which is not only my hometown, but one that I did a lot of radio in before I moved off to Texas. And there is a longtime talk show host that I have always had a lot of respect for, but, and I mean, no ifs or ands about it. I've always respected him, but I was so incensed by what he wrote in an article recently. So I dashed off this morning a piece, which some would deem a hit piece. I don't think it's a hit piece per se, but the reason I bring it to your attention is because it personifies what a lot of us have been noticing in our friends and family who have claimed to be conservative, right? They say they're conservative, but as I open with this piece, and if you go to my website, KarenCataline.com, the headline under articles and op-eds is "Longtime Talk Show Host Goes Authoritarian." Here's a guy who's been Mr. Conservative in Denver. We're talking decades of a conservative talk show host, smart guy, economic conservative, very conservative, or at least that's been his reputation. Well, he wrote an article, and I link it in my piece, that says the case for taking the vaccine. Now, if and when you read this, you know, and please do. By the way, the reason it's also on my mind is because later this afternoon on a 50,000-watt blowtorch station out of Denver, and again, I don't mean to give advertising to another station, but at 2 p.m., wait, I guess it'd be 3 p.m. Eastern, told you I don't get my time straight, but Mike Rosen, who's semi-retired, is going to be filling in for the regular talk show host, and he invited me on the air to debate this question about vaccine mandates. I had to sleep on it. When I read Rosen's article, the case for taking the vaccine, I was utterly incensed. Not, mind you, because he took the vaccine and he's encouraging others to take it. You know what? Let him try to persuade people. I don't have a problem with that. If he wants to proclaim on every radio show in the country that he's for vaccines and everybody ought to take them, let him do it. I don't have a problem with the marketplace of ideas. That's the business we're in, the business of opinion and idea. But guess what? When it comes to forcing, coercing, manipulating, punishing people by the government for not doing what they say, that's when I draw the line. What shocked me is that this supposed longtime conservative seems to be okay with that. Now, do you know people like that? People who you always thought were rock-ribbed conservatives, but they're either very weak on vaccine mandates or they flat out rationalize and justify the whole notion that the government has a right to force people to take them or to use other private businesses and even businesses that do business with the government as their proxy to force people to do their bidding. There is nothing American about that. Nothing whatsoever American about that. And yet somehow this, you know, decades-long conservative is telling us that we ought to, that it's perfectly legitimate for a government to force an experimental drug on its citizens. And here's the problem, and I don't know what all I'm going to say. This is a smart man, and he doesn't take it personally, which is good because my article was fairly fiery. In fact, in some circles, it would be called a hit piece because I basically accused him of not having a conscience. But, you know, he's a big man. He's a big boy. He can take it, and that's why he invited me on his show. So I respect that. But what I don't understand is how, under the circumstance of the amount of lies, deceit, suppression that we've been watching from the government using the virus to advance their communism and socialism and globalism and totalitarianism, which this talk show host hasn't exactly denied, and yet somehow people like him and maybe some of your friends and family take leave of their senses, or more accurately, they extricate the whole notion of vaccines and whether they ought to be mandated and whether they should bang the drum of vaccines all being so damned important. And they extricate that from everything else they know about what is going on in our country today. Everything else they know about the lies, the deceit, the communication, the suppression, the media propaganda, the suppressing drugs that they don't want us to use, suppressing treatments. Hospitals all over this country are not, and physicians and nurses and nurse practitioners are not free to treat patients as they see fit, using their experience, using their training, using their gut, whatever it is. No, they're being paid to do to enforce a COVID protocol that in some cases is killing people. They're being suppressed and repressed and fired for not taking a vaccine. There must be a reason why so many medical professionals have been willing to leave their livelihood, leave their profession because they don't want to take the vaccine. But somehow conservatives like Mike Rosen, or would-be conservatives like Mike Rosen, seem to think that somehow that is okay. I was astonished by this article. I really couldn't believe it. And so, again, I'm delighted that he has invited me on the program. If you want to hear the debate, or if you want to even tune in and call in to the debate, all you got to do is Google Mike Rosen or Google my name, because I'm not going to give you the letters on the air. But we'll do it live. Maybe I'll post the debate or discussion on my website after the fact, just because that's what we do want. We want discussion, differences of opinion. But when governments and authoritarians and people who constantly think they know better than you, or as I used to call them, FIOGs, for your own good, you know, I know better than you and it's for your own good and you better do it or I'm going to punish you, treating citizens like five-year-olds. Isn't that what parents say? Because I'm the mommy, because I'm the daddy, and because I said so. That is not what America is about. And there are some fascinating points of disagreement here. One is, I don't even know where to begin. One is that somehow it is dangerous for people. Let me back up. Mike Rosen seems to say that citizens deserve the inconvenience and the punishments that they are getting if they refuse the vaccine that he and the government think they ought to take. What? Really? All right, I'm going to read this to you because this is right out of his article. Quote, it's in my article, that's why it's easy at hand. If you choose to shun the vaccine, risk the negative health consequences, which, as an aside, remain to be seen, and considerable inconveniences like employment, airline travel, and access to places of public accommodation, that's your prerogative. Well, that's a tacit acceptance that the government has a right to punish you with inconveniences if you don't do as they say, is it not? Isn't that a tacit agreement that your employment, it is perfectly okay for them to punish you if you don't do as they say? You can't travel. And as we know, communists and authoritarians always escalate their punishment. They never back off unless they're made to back off. This seems to be perfectly okay with Mike Rosen. Further, he says this. He says, exceptions can be made for those who've had COVID and now have natural antibodies, and for those few who'd have a known negative reaction to the vaccine, but not for disingenuous religious beliefs. So he doesn't want to make any exceptions or exemptions for religious beliefs. And I ask you in the article, and I ask you right now, exactly who does he think ought to be in charge of deciding whose religious beliefs are disingenuous and whose are genuine? Him? The government? Do we get to be subjects of what Mike Rosen, the former conservative talk show host, thinks? Or, as I maintain, he seems to believe that we all have a right to his opinion. But guess what? We have a right to our own opinion. And if he's saying, and if your friends, and I'm using this only as an example because, you know, you probably aren't familiar with Mike Rosen. He's a big institution in Denver. He only does fill-in now because he's semi-retired. But if you have friends who are conservatives and who are either extolling the virtues of the vaccine or, believe it or not, think that somehow it's okay to mandate them, then the question is, what about this preposterous notion that people who've chosen not to take the vaccine are somehow dangerous to everyone else? Well, if your vaccine works, you shouldn't be concerned about what other people have or don't have. And why are you allowing the government as your proxy to force your fellow citizens to do as you think they should. There's nothing conservative about that at all. So if you'd like to tune in live, you can do that at 3 p.m. Eastern, or if you'd like to hear, I'll get the podcast after the fact, probably. And you can read my article at KarenCataline.com, www.KarenCataline.com. I think among our guests, we might also discuss Donald Trump's position, which didn't make me happy. But at least he's not for forcing like a Mike Rosen. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our first guest, Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSM and Nashua, New Hampshire. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
It's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
So good to have you along. The last week of December, the last week of 2021. And it just keeps going on, right? 10 days to flatten the curve, and next month or the month after, it'll be 2 years we've been living this COVID nightmare, the COVID fear-mongering, the COVID using it as a vehicle to impose socialism and communism on the country, divide the country, make people suspicious of one another, threaten people with their jobs if they don't do as they're told, which we were talking about just before. And perfect timing. We have a guest right now, president and publisher at Skyhorse. He's an attorney and was publisher at Lions Press between 1997 and 2004. He founded Skyhorse in 2006 and has been involved with every aspect of book publishing. He started with a small team of people, some of whom still work at Skyhorse, and his name is Tony Lyons. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Robert F. Kennedy's book about Dr. Fauci, which is a story in and of itself. And thank you for joining us on Spouting Off, Tony Lyons. You're on Spouting Off on new on 1590 AM WSMN. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, it is good to have you. And so it's funny, among the news articles that I read and the news feeds that I get, I saw that Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book about Dr. Anthony Fauci is a bestseller despite the phenomenal amount of media blackout that he has sustained. You call it a modern day book burning. Tell us about that and how he's been able to surmount this amount of censorship, which is unheard of in America, and yet that's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, so The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is currently the best-selling book in America. It was number one on USA Today. It was number one on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, number one on the Publishers Weekly bestseller list, and it's currently number one on Amazon as well. And that's 6 weeks after publication, which is really unheard of. So as you said, that's in the face of a total media blackout from the mainstream media. So, you know, no major newspaper has done a review of the book or has addressed any of the incredible claims of corruption that are contained in the book. And yet there have been multiple hit pieces from major newspapers and from magazines that are attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but not addressing any of the claims in the book, like I said. So the playbook is sort of attack the author, try to discredit the book. And the fascinating thing is that it's not working. I mean, this is a meticulously researched book. It's a very serious book with 2,194 citations. It's over 200,000 words. It's got blurbs from doctors and lawyers and scientists. It's even got a blurb from a Nobel Prize winner. So the fascinating thing here is the intensity with which the response to try to get people not to read the book has been, and then also the fact that it's been so ineffective that so many people want to read this book. And that's a very hopeful thing for democracy in the sense that there are all these trends heading towards, like you said, you know, fascism and sort of a totalitarianism with respect to ideas in this country. And yet the American public is just not accepting it. And they're going out and they're buying this book and books like it almost as an act of defiance, as a way of voting against what's happening now.
You know what's funny? We're talking to Tony Lyons, president and publisher of Skyhorse. There's so much to unpack here, but just to cut to the chase, couldn't you argue that, and you almost did just that the very act of censoring and trying to shut down this book has made it even a bigger success. So I say, go ahead, keep trying to shut down books. This is what will happen.
Sure. I mean, if you look at this closely, you know, you can see that we're learning that the American public is smarter than these, you know, PR companies that are hired to influence people, take people for. I mean, the American public is smart and they're savvy and they recognize what's happening, you know, what's going on here. And they know that if you have a better argument in a democratic, you know, country, if you have a better argument, you make that argument. You don't need censorship. So, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been right about so many things over the last couple of decades. And, you know, he was a Time Magazine Man of the Year for his environmental work. You know, he's a really serious guy. He's a serious researcher. And yet you can read article after article that tries to downplay that and defame him in any possible way to get you not to read a book. And it almost comes off as some kind of high school game that Dr. Fauci is the most powerful public official in the country, and he's been accused of serious corruption, and there's no response to it whatsoever. He's quoted as saying Robert F. Kennedy is disturbed. The New York Post says he's dumb. I mean, these are these are sort of like vilifying the author, gaslighting, you know, defaming, rather than addressing any of the actual claims.
Yeah. Tony, it needs to be said, too, that the Kennedys have been the darlings of the left for years. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, you know, when I was a kid, but when John F. Kennedy, I was very young, actually, but when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, at that time, John F. Kennedy, everything in his speech would have been considered Republican today, but the Kennedys have always been Democrats, have always been Democrat royalty, and obviously this COVID agenda and narrative is infinitely more important to them than the Kennedys or just about anything else.
There are a bunch of sides to that. I mean, clearly, this is not about being a Democrat or a Republican. It's not about, you know, left or right. This is really about right or wrong. I mean, this is about censorship should not be allowed in America. And, you know, censorship is easy to justify when people think that they're right, but they don't understand the history of censorship, that you have to defend people's rights to speech, even if you disagree with them. And, you know, what's going on here is that when people disagree with speech, they're willing to throw anybody under the bus, even Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah. With all respect, I just have to say this, and you may disagree, but today, the people that are trying to shut others down, get them fired, have them lose their job, demonizing people who don't agree, and basically shutting down dissent really is the left in this country, which controls the Democrat Party. It's hard to deny that, wouldn't you say? I don't want to get you to, I mean, I got to say it. This is the people, these are the people who are trying to censor dissent.
I would just say that, you know, if the left at a particular moment, you know, thinks that they're really right and that they can justify censoring things to protect the public from misinformation, that they're really wrong for doing that. That this, first of all, what's very clear is that this is not what anybody had in mind when they started to talk about misinformation. Like I said, 2,194 citations. I mean, this is an incredibly well-researched book. It's a legitimate, sincere, serious book. And so this is just pure censorship. There's no misinformation here. There might be disagreement, but there's no misinformation.
It's two different tacts, both of which can exist together, which is even the ugliest of speech. The great antidote for that is more speech, not less. And there's a lot of countries around the world that don't understand that, but our country was built on that. Our country was built on the precious right of free expression and free speech. But let's move on, because we do agree. We absolutely do agree about... Go ahead.
You know, I will grant you one thing. You know, I will grant you that it does seem like an odd moment in history where the left is kind of saying that on a whole host of issues, there shouldn't be any room for dialogue and debate. And so the idea is that there is this kind of truth, and that they know what that truth is.
And they are the final arbiters of it. Right.
Right. It's always a question of who gets to decide what that truth is. And it can't just be about power. And science can't be about power.
Well, and science thrives on differences of opinion. I would just say that the direction this country is going toward fascism, totalitarianism, authoritarianism, it always depends on the people in power trying to control the narrative and control and manipulate what people think. And right now, the First Amendment is a threat to all of that. The left that's in power, you'd think they would be thrilled, but they're never happy, they're never satisfied, and they have to put down and demonize every last person who disagrees with them. That's the very essence of authoritarianism.
Sure, and clearly what we're learning here is that, like I said before, this doesn't work, that people are tired of being told what to do or what to think, and certainly what to read. And they're responding very negatively towards this kind of fascism. And they're
deciding
that they want to be given the information on both sides of each of the, you know, big questions that are out there. And then they want to make a decision for themselves, for their families, about what they want to do.
Precisely.
And that's what, you know, that's what freedom is. That's what happens in a democracy.
So true. And here's another thing. We can go a step further, and the frustration that I think many people are feeling who went out and bought this book early on is that with so many allegations towards this one guy, this unelected bureaucrat who has an immense amount of power, even down to the kind of treatment ill people are getting in hospitals, suppressing some treatment, pushing other treatments, some of which are killing people in the form of remdesivir and other things, they see that there's never any accountability. I think that I'm not asking you to speak for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but this is an attempt to bring this to the light of day, because the people who are in power, the unelected bureaucrats like Fauci, are being propped up by the left, and there's no accountability there. He was even accused of animal abuse, which the left you'd think would care so much about, and instead he's still out there handing out orders and telling people what to do, among other things.
Yeah, it really is a crazy situation where somebody can make statements like, you know, I represent science. Like,
yes.
Dr. Fauci is saying that he,
yes,
represents science, and that if you disagree with him, you disagree with science and you don't believe in science. And all of that, you know, each aspect of those couple of sentences are so anti-democratic and so anti-science in itself, because like,
yes,
you said, science is a complicated process where thousands of people do research and they disagree with each other. And they stand on each other's shoulders, and they get to a point where the ideas are slightly better. And historically, if you look back over almost any period, you see people get it wrong, and we try to move forward each year. So they don't recognize that the idea of believing in science, which sounds nice, actually is the opposite of what the scientific process is.
Touché. We don't believe in science. The scientific method allows, just like, you know, the great sages who did commentary on the Torah. They didn't always agree. They welcomed the discussion. They welcomed the disagreement. And that's what we've done in America. With our about a minute and a half left, tell everybody about your publishing house and what you do and where they can find you and more about you.
Sure. So Skyhorse Publishing was founded in 2006. We've published about 10,000 books. On the political and health side, we always try to publish books on both sides. So, for example, we published two books. One of them is called The Case for Vaccine Mandates by Alan Dershowitz. And the other is called Case,
yeah,
Against Vaccine Mandates by Kent Heckenlively. So,
uh-huh,
the idea is to put the information out there, to give people both sides the best argument that we can find, and then, yeah, let people think it through and make their own decision.
Yeah, too bad mandates don't give people the choice. But thank you,
right,
Tony,
right,
Lyons,
that's
for joining us. And what a fascinating discussion. I hope Robert F. Kennedy Jr. makes a ton of money on his book. Thanks for joining us, Tony Lyons. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to have another guest. We're going to shift gears a little bit. I'll tell you about her when we come back. This is Spouting Off on WSMN.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. And yes, you can join us live here every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern for Spouting Off, and soon it'll be 1 p.m. Eastern on Friday, Spouting Off, at my website, KarenCataline.com. I got to jump right into our next guest because I have so been looking forward to having her with us. She is really quite distinguished. She is an MD, a psychiatrist, and she's known as America's psychiatrist, a board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist. Oh, no, I bet she has a lot to do there in Beverly Hills. Is also a best-selling and award-winning author of several books, written chapters and forewords for books including Missing Without a Trace, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Tragedy in Sedona, and Divorcing a Narcissist. She's also the author of the upcoming book, Murder by TV, A Descent into Madness, the story of the Jenny Jones talk show murder, for which she was a defense psychiatrist. Carol Lieberman joins us. So glad to have you. Thank you, Dr. Lieberman.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here.
Yes, well, having had a mental health background and fascinated with some of the issues we are hearing today, I there's just so many things I want to ask you about. But the very first is something that was in some of your PR pack there about seven reasons, I think this is it, yes, why we must still just say no to the vaccines, especially for kids. You did write that, right?
Yes, I did.
Thank God. Please go ahead and tell us more.
Okay. Well, to kind of sum it up, I mean, the basics of it is that let me back up a little bit. First of all, for adults, there have been so many cases reported, and so many not reported, but cases reported to the organization.
VAERS. V-A-E-R-S.
Yes. Thank you. I have a block against that. You know,
I don't blame you.
Anyhow, so they are, first of all, doctors and nurses are not able to report all of the cases that they should be reporting in terms of side effects to the vaccines. But putting that aside for a minute, I mean, I think that adults, I'm totally against the vaccine mandates, but I think that adults should have the, you know, a choice whether they want to get the vaccine or not.
Hey, what a radical idea. A choice? Really?
Yes, sorry. Right. I know. In this age of 1984.
My body, my choice, right?
But as far as kids, I think to give a child, anybody less than 18 or even 21, to force them to have a vaccine is child abuse. And that's because we have hardly done enough research. I mean, we really haven't done enough research for adults because clearly, you know, there are a lot of side effects that aren't being reported and a lot of deaths that aren't being reported and all of that. But for kids, there is no way that they could have done enough research for the impact on children, because you would need to do like 10 years because kids' organs are growing. And even though, you know, maybe they didn't see any side effects right away, you know, in 6 months, but you'd need to be able to look at this child 10 years down the line to see whether there was some effect, you know, by having it be incorporated into, you know, their heart. Well, we know already, actually, that there's been myocarditis and so on in teenagers and young adults. And so this, the virus could get incorporated, through the vaccine, incorporated into organs. So there is no way to know that there won't be some damage. And I just think, to make kids have vaccines and to be able to go to school, for example, that is child abuse.
I couldn't agree more. I'm going to jump around just a little because I want the benefit of your knowledge and expertise. And I have a feeling we agree on many subjects, but my monologue at the beginning featured a frustration. I'm about to debate a longtime talk show, claims to be a conservative talk show host, who not only extols the virtues of the vaccine and he can persuade all he wants, but he totally justifies and rationalizes his way out of these mandates. And as a person who used to be in the mental health field and kind of still apply a lot of that, I have an MSW from Columbia, of all places.
Oh, wow.
I continue to wonder, and I would love your thoughts, when people take leave of their senses, when they know that we are on a march towards communism and socialism, and they can even see that this virus is being used as a vehicle to impose those things on steroids, and yet they fold and roll over, is it a fear of death? Is it a fear of their own mortality? Have you written on that subject at all? Because this fascinates me.
Well, you mean has like the average person listening to all of this, that who are sheep and going along with it? Is that what you mean?
No, actually, I'm thinking more. I mean, and this really has separated the men from the boys. And I, as a person who's horrified by the vaccine mandates, if people want to take them, take them. I don't have a vested interest. I might try to persuade them otherwise, but if they want to take them, I still believe in live and let live. But when a longtime conservative who's known as Mr. Conservative talk radio host happens to be in Denver.
Are you going to be mentioning names? Or?
Yeah, Mike Rosen is his name. I'm going to be talking to him later today.
Okay.
And he's somebody I've respected, and I have friends like this. I'm only using him as an prototype.
Example.
For the kind of conservative who doesn't trust the left on anything, but all of a sudden they're completely taken over by their fear of this virus. You could tell them it's 99.86% non-lethal unless you have pre-existing conditions. They don't care. They're going to stay locked in their home for a year and a half.
Yes. I know what you mean. It is, part of it is that it's one thing to believe in all these other things, other conservative things, but there is a fear of, well, maybe they're right, kind of. We've been so brainwashed, which is very scary, that even people who know better, really, have gotten sucked into this. And, and when they start telling people, it's one thing to just decide, well, okay, I don't know really. Nobody knows anything about COVID, really, including Dr. Fauci. maybe if they decide, well, I just want to, just in case, I'm going to do it. But then to tell other people, and certainly to do that on a pulpit, like on a radio show or in the media in general, I think is really bad and really dangerous and harmful. And you do what you want, that's fine. But, you don't have to because look at all the people who trusted him. I've heard the name. Doesn't ring a bell as far as I don't think I've listened to his show. But
he's semi-retired now, but he was an institution in Denver talk radio, and I only use him as an example because he's a smart guy. This is not, and I have known, I know a rocket scientist personally who literally, and he thinks I'm crazy for telling him to beware of the vaccine. And what I wonder about is this PSYOP, Dr. Lieberman, the psyop of scaring people for 2 years straight to get them to do what you want, and the psyop of people who will do what they're told out of fear.
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, this isn't a coincidence anymore. We can't really, if this is what you would do, this is what a person or a dictator or a group who's trying to take over America, let's see, who could that be? This would be what they would do purposely. I mean, that's what dictators have done for forever.
And people forget the history, don't they?
To scare the population, to get them to start doing things because of, so that they don't die, you know, and then you have them in the palm of your hands.
Isn't that the truth? And I'll go even a step further because, again, I was looking forward to talking to you for so many reasons. I'm going to take a leap of faith. My Judar is working. We're both MOTs, I believe, members of the tribe.
Yeah.
And if you would, Dr. Carol Lieberman, speak about something that a lot of people have been talking about, but even many of our fellow Jews have shut down synagogues, churches have been shut down, and people haven't fought back. A lot of people have. But talk about the Nuremberg Code and how this fits in to medical autonomy and freedom.
Well, I mean, the main thing is that, you know, after 9/11, one of the ways that Americans were able to get back to, I mean, we're still not back, by the way, but that's a whole other topic.
Yes.
But one of the ways that Americans were able to recuperate to some degree is because there was all this talk about how the churches and synagogues were filled to capacity. You know, everybody, all of a sudden, everybody wanted to believe in God. And and that was really helpful. And now, with the churches and the synagogues, you know, most of them being closed, especially during the holidays, during Hanukkah, during the high holidays. I mean, I am not vaccinated, and my temple will not let me come. My temple. I've been a member for 30 years of the Malibu Jewish Center, and I kicked up quite a fuss, but it didn't really do very much.
You picked up quite a what?
I said I kicked up quite a fuss. Even my temple that I've been a member of for 30 years would not let me, because I am unvaccinated, come inside to services.
Yeah, this is, goes into another whole issue, which you may or may not, I mean, this is just an aside, but as Dennis Prager says, Reform and liberal Jews are practicing liberalism. They're not practicing Judaism. And that's where you'll find the most liberal Jews. But guess what? I'm not Orthodox, but I like to study at Orthodox synagogues. And the one that I left in Colorado wouldn't open up. And I said, you know, when we say never again, it doesn't mean, it's not just words. You have to be able to recognize. Yes. I am not saying we're headed to another Holocaust. What I am saying is you have to recognize the early stages of tyranny or it will happen again.
Yes. Well, you know, the Holocaust, I mean, yes, we say never again for the Holocaust. We say never forget for 9/11, and these things have turned out to become bumper stickers. People have short memories, and they don't want to believe that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And, I mean, this is, you know, I know when you say that, like there have been some people who, when people have said that in the media about how like the passport, the vaccine passport is like the armbands and all that, and they got shot down. But really, that is what it is.
That's exactly what it is. I have a story. I got on television. A fellow Jew, didn't know I was Jewish, gave me the Disgrace of the Week Award 2 years ago on a public television station because I said that a mask mandate made me feel like I was wearing a yellow star on my chest.
Yeah.
And he thought that was anti-Semitic. So I guess what that means is if you mention the Holocaust, it automatically makes you anti-Semitic, even though you're trying to warn people from the same thing. The logic is ridiculous. True.
Yes. And I, you know, I have been surprised for a number of years. Well, I guess at least as far back as 2016 with the election, you know, when I assumed, this is naive, I guess, I assumed that all Jews would realize the value, and even in this current, you know, 2020, even of course, as well, would realize the value of having someone in the White House who was sympathetic or cared about, compassionate towards Israel. And I'm on the board of American Friends of Magen David Adom. That provides ambulance services in Israel. And so I walked into a meeting assuming that everybody would think that, yes, we should vote for the candidate who wants to protect Israel. And I was rather surprised, you know, open mouth, what's that saying? Put foot.
God, there's so much we could talk about.
I just couldn't believe it.
I wrote an article about Donald Trump being called anti-Semitic for calling out American Jews for not being greater supporters of Israel. And this makes him anti-Semitic, really? I mean, it's crazy.
Yes, I saw an article about that. It's outrageous. He has done more for Israel than any president ever. And and now we're really in a pickle, you know. And we're in a pickle in a lot, not just Israel. We're in a pickle in America and in Israel.
Dr. Lieberman, I've been remiss because I've been so excited to talk to you about these philosophical questions, and we have only 2 minutes. But could you speak to this among the many questions we're not allowed to ask? Is there a test for any of these endless variants? And if not, how do they know they exist at all?
Well, I mean, there is a test like for Delta and Omicron.
Is there actually a test? How
I mean, so, you know, if you can believe them, supposedly, I don't believe anything. And in fact, several months ago, I started a website called pleasefirefauci.com.
Oh, God, love you. Please give it to us again so they can go there. Is it .com?
Yes, pleasefirefauci.com. And not only is there a petition on there about to sign, you know, to add your name to Fire Fauci, but I also have, there's a heading, Prescription for America. And I have on there an anagram of things that everybody should be doing every day to keep healthy psychologically and physically. And then you won't have to worry as much about, I don't want to say, you know, it's going to guaranteed to protect you against COVID, but it certainly will help a lot if you just
what
do these
a joy
basic
to
things.
Have you. Give us that website again, the one about what you can do.
Sure. That's on the pleasefirefauci.com website.
Okay. Please Fire Fauci. And Dr. Carol Lieberman, I can't wait to have you back. We got to rush and end this show, but thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year to you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you. Happy
Take
New Year
care.
To you.
Yeah, well, that about does it for us. Boy, those segments go quickly, but lots to discuss, lots to unpack. Best to you. I'll be back Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, so join me then here on WSMN 1590. I'll talk to you soon. I'm out of here.
WSMN 1590.